Delighted to have you with us. You know, I heard someone once told me that if we're in church when the rapture sounds, when the trumpet sounds, the first rows go first. So, just in case, you know. Isn't it funny how in church people always sit as far away as they can, as close to the door? But man, if they go to see a rock concert, they want to be right in the front, you know? Anyway, just thought I'd take a shot at you tonight. Someone said, when's a good Friday service? What day is a good Friday service on? Friday. A week from Friday. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up this evening. We are in the book of Leviticus. And as I've mentioned many times, rarely is the book of Leviticus taught in churches today. And all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, every yacht, every tittle, every cross T, every dotted I. And even when Tina and I attended churches, we were never taught the book of Leviticus. And so it's exciting. I'm really excited about tonight. We're getting into food. That's one of my favorite subjects. It's kind of humorous, too. We're going to talk about clean and unclean food, and I got home tonight, and Tina made me pork chops. So I thought that was kind of cool. Leviticus chapter 11 tonight. I don't want to say that too loud in the synagogue. I had pork chops for dinner. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. Every section is important. Every chapter, verse, every word is given by the inspiration of God. And so tonight I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Teach us some all-important things about your word. And we can't really have a grip on the New Testament without the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it's Christ concealed. New Testament, Christ revealed. So we thank you, Lord, that every chapter is rich in nuggets if we'll just dig. And so help us tonight just to dig a little bit and find some all-important truths that will strengthen our faith, free us up from a lot of things that some people are still held captive in, the law. And we live under grace, which is a wonderful thing. And so tonight I pray, Lord, as we have open hearts and open Bibles, that you, the Good Shepherd, would feed your sheep spiritual food tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. And again, just about every chapter begins with that. The Lord is speaking to Moses and Aaron. What must that have been like to hear the audible voice of God? Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. And so the book of Leviticus now goes from the worship of God to the wellness of God's people, if you would. Wellness is a popular term within our culture today, isn't it? And we have a God that is concerned with all of the details within our lives. He really is. Even the small details. The daily things of his people. And it's wonderful to be able to include him in everything. Nothing is too great. Nothing is too small. We are a trichotomy. Body, mind, and spirit. All three are important to God. Body, mind, and spirit. In our culture today, there's a tremendous emphasis on the body, isn't there? The physical, the outward appearance. As a matter of fact, in many cases, people worship the body today. It's a form of idolatry with the time and the money and the effort and all that's spent on these bodies, which are temporal tents. One day we'll go back to the dust. We'll be absent from this body and present with the Lord. But in the meantime, we have wellness centers, and they're good. Wellness centers are good. We have organic food stores. Many people practice clean eating. No junk food, no processed foods, no refined sugar, no artificial ingredients. And yes, all of these things are certainly important. Why? Because Scripture tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're to take care of this temple. We're to take care of this body. We're not to worship it, but do the best we can, if you would, with what we have. The Lord encourages us to take care of our temples. And even the Apostle Paul told Timothy that a bodily exercise profits little. It does. It's good for us to exercise. But how about the second and third parts of this trichotomy that we live in? The mind and the spirit. Our very soul, that's who you are. That's the core of who you are. It's not the outward clothing we have. We talked about that Sunday. It's not the skin in which we're wrapped. But the real you is your soul. The inside. Body, mind, and spirit. And oftentimes, how sad it is in the world in which we live, there's very little emphasis on the soul, that part of us that's going to last throughout all eternity. Jesus said in Matthew 15:11, hear and understand, meaning listen up. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the heart that defiles a man. And you can do all of these things, the wellness thing and the food thing, and eat wild hickory nuts like a guy named Yul Gibbons years ago. And you know what? The all-important thing is what is in your heart. You can eat clean and still have a dirty heart. You can put clean things in your mouth and still have a dirty mouth, can't you? We know that. You can spend your whole life at the wellness center and be a worthless sinner. You can eat clean, talk dirty, you can eat refined sugar and still have a bitter heart. And so I think it's so important that tonight we focus on what is really, really important. So tonight we're going to talk about the food laws that God established. This is God's menu for the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. Why the food laws, many people say. And even people today think that we still live under food laws. Eat this, don't eat that. You know, and in some cases, there's some stuff we really shouldn't be eating. I often joke about double doubles with grilled onions. That's not the healthiest food on the planet. You okay, April? She's headed out the door to get a double double with grilled onions. Does it make you more religious? With what you eat, does it make you more spiritual? Does it draw you closer to God? Or is it just some sort of a superstition? No, no, and no. You see, God draws up the menu, and we're going to look at God's menu for the children of Israel tonight. And there are certain things that God has put on the menu for Israel. And there are certain things that God leaves off the menu, and for good reason. And we'll look at some of these things here tonight. You see, history proves that God has good and sufficient reasons for making these decisions. He is God, number one. That's the number one reason that he calls the shots and he makes up the menu. He created you and I. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, Scripture tells us. And he knows what we need to go in and he knows what we need to come out. He's God. God calls the shots. He makes the rules, and his ways are always right. The animals which God forbids are unclean feeders. That's why. The unclean feeders. Meaning that because they are unclean feeders, they are liable to disease. When something unclean goes in, it affects the body. Not only theirs, but ours if we consume whatever that particular animal might be. And there's all sorts of parasites. I remember fifth grade science class, we talked about trichinella and diphtheria and this thing called gillanders. What's gillanders? Well, it's something for horses and mules and donkeys. I've never heard anybody in the room ever had gillanders. No? But it's there in Scripture. And God made the distinctions way back in Leviticus, and mankind is still struggling with these infectious maladies today. A lot of what we deal with has to do with what we eat. This also includes God established, this also includes the kosher laws. The kosher laws are actually really good. And again, it's not a form of religion. I was in getting the mail today in the temple, and this wonderful lady, she's a wonderful Jewish lady, lives majorly under the law. And she was complimenting us on the men's study because Tuesday mornings we invite some of their guys in to have donuts and coffee with us. I said, oh yeah, we have a barbecue on Friday too if any of them want to join us. And she says, you don't put pork on there, do you? And it's like, man. But I didn't tell her that the rabbi already gave me permission to have pork on Friday if I wanted to. So I didn't want to pop her religious bubble, you know. But kosher laws are even good. Why? Because germs and spores and bacteria and parasites circulate in the animal's blood. And that's why God had his people drain the blood. He gets all of this stuff out of the animal. And it's for this reason that throughout history, in times of pestilence, you notice that Jews have suffered far less than others because they eat the right thing. And they weren't affected by a lot of the plagues and pestilences throughout history. Some of you may remember hearing about the Black Plague in Europe in the 1350s. 50 million people died. Incredible. And guess what? They blamed the Jews because the Jews weren't affected by the Black Plague because of their kosher laws. They were pretty much unaffected due to the kosher food laws. And so they thought it was some sort of a conspiracy from the Jews. But it actually had a lot to do, everything to do with their diet. So we as God's people today still need to be concerned about the physical. We do. I think it's so important, as well as the spiritual. And oh, that we would spend as much time on the spiritual as we do the physical. You know, count the minutes during a day that you spend on yourself. And then count the minutes on the time that you spend with the Lord. I know we do our devotionals, we read scriptures in the morning and all, but yet we spend the rest of the day, you know, focused on the physical. And no, we don't live under strict food laws. And yes, we can eat whatever our heart desires because we no longer live under the law. You remember Peter? When the sheet came down from heaven three times, and the Lord said, Peter, take and eat. And he says, no way, Lord. No unclean thing has ever touched my lips. And the Lord said to Peter, call nothing unclean, meaning from that point on that the Jews could partake of, you know, whatever they chose to eat. We have to be very careful, again, that food does not become a religion to us. We can take it in the other direction as Calorie Chapel, right? We can worship food. And so we have to be very, very careful because healthy eating does make a difference within our lives. Paul says in Romans 14:14, that there is nothing unclean. 1 Corinthians 8:8, food does not commend us to God, meaning it doesn't make us any holier, closer to Him. Matter of fact, some of the things we eat might get us there sooner. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, meat for the belly and the belly for meat. I like that one because I got a belly on me. But yet, the all-important thing is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul says, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. You know, we give thanks to Him. We break bread together. We have fellowship. And God is in the midst of us. And we want to make sure that everything that we do for His glory. So let's look at the menu, okay? You've been waiting for me to read the menu to you. So let's look at the menu here this evening. Verse 3. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. It doesn't tell us a whole lot, does it, about the entrees. But this same law is given in more detail in Deuteronomy 14:4. That's why it's so important to cross-reference in your Bible. You have the little column in a lot of your Bibles down the middle and give you cross-references. It's so important to follow these cross-references because if you do, you can find out what's on the menu when he's talking about the cloven hooves and chewing the cud. Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Can you imagine going into the butcher shop and saying, hey, does that chew the cud? I'm not sure whether that animal chews the cud or not, you know? How about the hoof? Can you show me the hoof here? It's got to be cloven. Deuteronomy 14:4 reads this: "These are the animals that you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer." Now, I don't know the difference between the roe deer and the deer, but the Bible distinguishes between the two. And then we have the wild goat. Here we call them bighorn sheep, I guess. The antelope and the mountain sheep. And so God draws the line here. He wants to make it clear to the children of Israel that these are the ones that you can partake of, between the clean feeders and the unclean feeders. And again, the health factor being the issue. God wants his kids to be healthy. It's the same with us as parents, right? We raise our kids. We want to make sure we give them a good, healthy breakfast and a good, healthy lunch. And we make sure that, you know, these kids get a good, solid diet so they can grow up and be healthy. On the other side of God's line is that which is not on the menu. And again, for very good reason, God says they are unclean. Okay, look at verse 4. "Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hoofs. The camel, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hoofs, is unclean to you. The rock hyrax, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hoofs, is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hoofs, is unclean to you. And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs, yet does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you." So he starts with the camel. Don't eat them and don't even smoke them, you know? Jesus accused the Pharisees. You remember the Pharisees? They were so religious because of the kosher laws. If they swallowed a gnat, of course, has blood in it. If they swallowed a gnat, they would strain. If it got into their wine, they would strain the wine out from this little dinky little gnat. But they were such hypocrites, Jesus said, "You strain a gnat, but you swallow a camel whole." Meaning that they were hypocrites. And they, you know, they would strain out a little tiny gnat because of the blood, but yet they would swallow a whole unclean thing, like a camel. We see here also a coney or a rock badger. I remember seeing those down near the Dead Sea in Israel, up at En Gedi, where David fled from Saul. They're kind of cute little guys, but you can't eat them. They knew they were safe, I guess, when the tourists came through. And so you were not to eat a coney, which is also a rabbit, and a hyrax, and a hare, and a swine, a pig. I'm thinking while I'm putting the study together this week. You ever see that guy named Andrew Zimmern? He's a Jewish guy. He has this program called Bizarre Foods. Man, I'll tell you what, he is certainly not orthodox in his beliefs. Whew. He rarely eats anything clean. Every time I see the guy, I wonder, how many times off camera has this guy had his stomach pumped? You know? You ever see this Bizarre Food program? It's like insane, man. Okay, I'll move on. But verse 8 not only forbids them to eat the unclean things, he says, don't even touch their carcasses. And people think, well, what's that all about? Well, disease is attached to carcasses, let's face it. You've seen it. I'm not going to describe carry-on, you know. You think it's your luggage when you get on a plane, right? No. Carry-on is a carcass. And God forbids them to even touch the unclean things because of disease. Separate yourselves from those things which are completely forbidden. And that's why he says in verse 8, their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. What he's talking about is staying completely away from anything that might have bacteria, parasites, whatever it might be, disease. And again, that's why God's people were so healthy in the wilderness, 40 years, all that time with all they had to deal with, because God established laws that were going to keep his people healthy. Today, there are no food restrictions, per se. But you know what? There are certainly restrictions on other things that God forbids, especially for Christians to touch. There are places we go and things we touch. God says, don't even touch it. He doesn't tell us not to touch camels, but he tells us not to touch cannabis. That's becoming a popular thing today in America and throughout the church. It's crept into the church, sadly enough. He says, don't touch pork in the Old Testament, but how about porn in the New Testament? Instead of badgers in the Old Testament, it's booze. Instead of unclean meat, we have unclean movies, unclean mouths, unclean motives in the church today. And God tells us to come out from them. Don't touch the unclean thing. Why? Because things defile us. They do. They defile us. And God warns against these things for good reason. Why? Because it stumbles us, causes us to fall, rips us off, causes us to backslide. You know, and how sad it is that many of these things are affecting the church today. And so what God is saying, he says, get back on the other side of the line. The line that I have established for your good. And you know, God establishes these laws and these precepts and these standards for you and I because he loves us and he knows what's going to do damage within all of our lives. Sin never says enough. Never, ever, ever. It never quits. The physical example of a spiritual thing is leprosy. They would get leprosy in the Old Testament and it would consume them. Leprosy would not stop until it completely consumed that person. And the same holds true today. A spiritual example of physical leprosy is sin. It never says enough, and it will not stop unless it's eradicated by the blood of Jesus Christ or that it consumes whatever, whoever that person might be. It's dangerous. We live in dangerous times. We live in perilous times in this world. I'll tell you, 32 years ago when we got saved, it was hard, and we were tempted, and all this stuff was going on in America. But you know what? We live in a time that if you would have told me these things were going on, you know, in another 30 years, I'd have thought, no way, man. And we are right there. With all of the things that Scripture warned about, we are right there. And because we're right there, there's never been a time in the history of the church when we need to be clean. Why? Because we are on the threshold of the return of the Lord, the trump of God, and the dead of Christ. Dead in Christ will rise, and those of us who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And J. Vernon McGee says there'll be many churches after the trumpet sounds that will be business as usual on the following Sunday. Why? Because they don't preach against sin. They don't preach holiness today. They don't preach that God is holy, and God says what he means and means what he says in his word. That's why I'm loving Leviticus. Yeah, it's the law, but I'll tell you what, it's caused me to clean up some things in my own personal life, and it's shown me the holiness of God and the righteousness of God. And God demands holiness within his people. He's not playing games. He never has, and he never will. We need to get back on the other side of the line. Why is it that Christians always want to straddle the line? It's just like kids, you know, they just want to get up as close as they can to that line, rather than us drawing as close to Jesus Christ as we possibly can. That's what we need to do. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you, the Lord says. Verses 9 to 12. The next section on the menu is seafood. Check it out. Verse 9. These you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever in the water has fins and scales. Whether in the seas or in the rivers that you may eat. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination. Whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. Yep, it's pretty evident they didn't have sushi bars back in the Old Testament, right? Boy, some of the stuff people roll up at these sushi bars, like, whoa, it's a good thing we live under grace today. But this is God's seafood menu for the children of Israel. And God says that the clean fish are identified by two physical marks, right? Fins and scales. And again, you ever go into the fish market and ask the guy, hey, they got fins and scales on them? We don't, right? We live under grace and freedom. This includes both freshwater and saltwater fish. In Israel, the three major sources of fish in Israel were the Jordan River, which there's fish in there, believe me. Every time we go to baptize people in the Jordan River, while you have the people in the water, whoever's doing the baptism has to stand there while everybody comes in and out. And these fish come up and they pull the hairs on your legs. And you're like, get away, you know. There's fish in the Jordan River, believe me, it's crazy. And there's fish in the Sea of Galilee. And when you visit Israel, you get to eat St. Peter's fish. And it's kind of fun to watch the people who go to Israel for the first time because they order the fish and they bring it out and you get this big eyeball looking at you, you know? That's the way they eat it over there. It's like eye to eye with St. Peter's fish. And the third body of water, of course, is the Mediterranean Sea. All three are beautiful. The Jordan River, Sea of Galilee, Mediterranean, just absolutely breathtaking. And so even to this very day, fish are part of the Israeli diet, a very, very important part of the Israeli diet. That's one of the things I love about going to Israel, because I love fish and get to eat fish anytime you want, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, on the Temple Mount, at the temple, they actually had a gate called the Fish Gate. That's where all the cats in the neighborhood hung out, at the Fish Gate. That's where they would bring in all of the fish, you know, from the Mediterranean Sea or the Jordan or whatever they caught the fish, Sea of Galilee. They would bring it in through the Fish Gate. And Jesus loved fish because he multiplied the fishes and the loaves to feed the 5,000. But what we see here is if it has no fins, no scales, no touchy. And guess what this includes? I Googled this one to find out, you know, according to the Jewish laws, what fish this includes. Now, what would you say? Do you have any idea what these would include? I know you're probably thinking eel and some other things, but I went down the line here. Catfish. I never knew that catfish was unclean. Shark. Sturgeon. Dolphin, which is good for you football fans. Porpoise, which is good for Flipper. You're not supposed to eat seals, walruses, or even whales. That's interesting, isn't it? And there were some others. I can't name them all, but these surprised me. I wasn't surprised with the eel. First thing I thought was the eel. I wouldn't want to eat an eel anyway. But a catfish? I love catfish. Shark? I've had shark. And so I was surprised. And of course, this includes shellfish, right? And Jews do not eat shellfish. All the good stuff. You know, as I'm putting the message together this week, I'm thinking, you know, the high-end restaurants in this valley, all you'd find on their menu would be a grilled cheese sandwich and peanut butter and jelly, because all of the stuff that you're not supposed to eat is on their menu. Listen, clams, crabs, lobster, oysters, scallops, shrimp, jellyfish I can pass on. Of course, you put peanut butter with it, I guess. Octopus and squid. And like I said, this is the sushi bar here too, isn't it? But man, how many of these things would be eliminated from high-end restaurants today? Well, I guess I'll just have the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Well, that'll be $49.50, please. Yeah. Okay, guess what's next? Let's see which fowl are really fowl, okay? Verse 13. And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. I call this section dirty birds. They are an abomination. And by the way, if you invite me over to dinner sometime, it's okay if you don't serve me these things. The eagle. How about a vulture? Are you kidding me? A buzzard. The kite. And the falcon after its kind, every raven, that's a crow, the ostrich. There's a bunch of ostriches if you've ever gone from here to Phoenix along the way. They have an ostrich farm over there. And the best way to spot is to open your window when you go by. And how about the short-eared owl, The seagull. I'll pass on that one too, man. Yep, you ever see the stuff that they eat on the beach? The seagull, man. Lost my place here. What number?
16.
The ostrich. The short-eared owl. The seagull. And the hawk after its kind. Then there's the little owl. I don't know the difference between the little owl and the big owl, and the short-eared owl. The fisher owl. And the screech owl. And the white owl. And the jackdaw. And the carrion vulture. The stork. That's so that all the babies could get delivered. The heron after its kind. And the hoopoe. And the bat. Can you imagine? Wow. So here we have the dirty birds, if you would. For the most part, they feed on carrion. You've seen them. They eat trash. They eat junk. They eat dead animals. They eat dead fish. They eat dead stuff. So they're not healthy. They have all the parasites and all the stuff we talked about earlier. But you know what? Yes, people do eat some of these today. But I'll pass. I'll settle for chicken, even if it's not range-free. How can you tell the difference? And turkey, it's good. It's good enough for me, you know? But could you imagine someone inviting you over for, say, Thanksgiving dinner? And you walk in and they're looking you right in the eyes, a stuffed eagle, you know? Or how about a stuffed vulture? Or you're sitting there and someone says, could you pass the buzzard, please, you know? Or seagull, or stork, or bat. None of that stuff really sounds good. But God has it there for a reason, doesn't he? This is the part of Leviticus that I really have fun with. You know, all of the ceremonial laws and stuff we went through for the first chapters, it's good, it's important stuff. But now it's like, wow, this is kind of fun going. And there's a reason for these things, you know. And I used to just skip through Leviticus, just read through to go through the one-year Bible just to get it over with. But it's so much fun now just stopping and reading and understanding why God instituted these laws for us. And I think it's so important, again, to take care of the tent. Now, verses 20 to 23. If you got invited to John the Baptist's house for dinner, the menu might look like this. Look at verse 20. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you, but if you're at John the Baptist's house, yet these you may eat. Every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those who have jointed legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth. What do you do? Take the bug and look at see if it's got jointed legs or not before you eat it? Crazy. Wow. These you may eat. The locust. See, that's what John had. Locust and wild honey. These you may eat. The locust after its kind. And there's different kinds of locusts. What would you like? The destroying locust after its kind or the cricket? Jiminy Cricket after its kind and the grasshopper after its kind. But all other insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. And I've seen people eat these things. I've been in places where they eat these things. As a matter of fact, a delicacy when you go to Israel is locusts. They love locusts over there. It's supposed to be delicious. But not for me, you know? And so here we see again that God allows. In John the Baptist, Jesus said of him, there was no woman born of man who was greater than John the Baptist. And he had locusts and wild honey. Verse 24. This has to do with roadkill and carrion and dead carcasses. Look what it says. Verse 24. But these you shall, by these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries part of the carcass of any of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. The carcass of any animal which divides the foot but is not cloven-hoofed or does not chew the cud is unclean to you. Everyone who touches it shall be unclean. And whatever goes on its paws, among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. I would have to think that would be bears. Whoever touches any such carcass shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It is uncleaned to you. And so again, it's a matter of personal hygiene, isn't it? Keeping yourself clean. And you know, in Israel, it gets pretty hot over there during the daytime. And if there was a dead animal out in the desert sun, it gets pretty nasty. I remember years ago, I used to work in Chino. And it used to get so hot sometimes, a lot of the cows would actually flip over and die. And what they would do is they would take these cows and drag them out by the curb and leave them out in the sun, and they would bloat. And there would be this truck that would come by, and Robert, are you from Chino? Did you grow up out that way? And these trucks would pick up these bloated cows, and this whole truck would be full of bloated cows. And if you had to drive behind a man, it was awful. And so I'm reading this section and going, I can relate to this, you know, the roadkill and the carry-on and dead carcasses. Nasty stuff. And that's why God says don't even touch this stuff. Because it's filled with disease. And, the main reason is because of contamination on contact. And in those days, they didn't have all the hand sanitizers and stuff, you know, that we have everywhere you go. It's hand sanitizers, you know, today. And people aren't even touching dead carcasses. And they're kind of cootie, you know, fanatics. And so what he says here is don't touch these things because of contamination by contact. And I'm thinking, okay, let the dirty birds clean them up. You know, they'll go and take care of all this stuff. And they do. The vultures and the crows and all, they go and they clean up all this stuff. But what he's talking about here in 24 through 28 is good personal hygiene. You know, keep your body clean. Don't touch things that would cause you to be contaminated. There's wisdom in that. Glove up. 29 through 40. God says, don't touch or eat these either. Notice what he says. These also shall be unclean to you. And again, I didn't find any of these that were very appetizing. You tell me. These also shall be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep on the earth. The mole. Now, all of you Hispanics, this is not mole, okay? This is mole. Don't eat a mole. This isn't guacamole, nor is it mole. I thought you'd enjoy that one. The mouse. And the large lizard after its kind. The gecko. The monitor lizard. The sand reptile, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until evening. Notice, anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean. Whether it is in an item of wood or clothing or skin or sack, whatever item it is, which any work is done, it must be put in water. And it shall be unclean until evening, then it shall be clean. Any earthen vessel into which any of them falls, you shall break. And whatever is in it shall be unclean. In such a vessel, any edible food upon which water falls becomes unclean. And any drink that may be drunk from it becomes unclean. And this is so important as well here. Why? Because it points back to the Black Plague. Was caused by rats and rat droppings and getting into the people's food and grain and their dishes and all. That's how this plague was spread. And so God has a reason for people taking some of the dishes, destroying them. Others had to be cleaned. And so, again, God is taking care of his people, isn't he? And the earthen vessel into which any of them falls, you shall break, and whatever is in it shall be unclean. So even if it's pottery or something, you had to break it. Verse 36, nevertheless, a spring or a cistern in which there is plenty of water shall be clean, but whatever touches any such carcass becomes unclean. And again, wells could be polluted. I remember when I was in Vietnam, whenever we drank out of a river or spring, we'd always go up river to make sure there wasn't something laying in there, you know, to make sure the water was clean, because again, contamination. And if any part of such a carcass falls on any planting seed which is to be sown, it remains clean. But if water is put on the seed, and if part of it, part of any such carcass falls on it, it becomes unclean to you. Why? Because the water will cause it to penetrate. And if any animal which you may eat dies, he who touches its carcass shall be unclean until evening. He who eats of its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. He also who carries its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And so again, God establishes these laws, and they're for good reason. Okay. Verse 41. The creepy crawler section. And every creeping thing that creeps on the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatever crawls on its belly, whatever goes on all fours, or whatever has many feet among all creeping things that creep on the earth, these you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. And so God warns against eating snakes and things of that sort. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps, nor shall you make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defy yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And like I said earlier, we got some other creepy things that we're dealing with here on earth that make us unclean. And we're to be separated from these things, creepy stuff, stuff that would defile us. And again, we belong to God. He is the Lord our God. Notice he says, I'm the Lord your God. You belong to me. And the term consecrate for us means that we're to be set apart. We're to be different from the world. We're to be consecrated from the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And there's a major difference there. I know those of us who are believers can't wait to get out of it, man. Lord, we got work to do here. Let's get it over with and let's get to heaven. This is not our home. It's creepy here, isn't it? And it gets creepier every day. With all the creepy crawlers we got crawling around here. Unclean, defiled. And if we're not careful, they defile us. Verse 45, for I am the Lord who brings you up. He's going to one day, isn't he? Out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Again, we don't hear a lot about holiness in the mainline church today. It's all about happiness. In our marriage class Thursday night, we're talking about what Scripture says about happiness. God never promises us to be happy. He promises to make us holy. And I think it's so important we recognize and realize that happy is just an emotion. And it fades when all of a sudden whatever that thing made you happy is gone. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And if you really want to be joyful, be holy. And you'll be happy and joyful all at the same time. It's so, so important for us to be holy. Whatever happened to the holy messages? It's all about prosperity. It's all about name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, confess it and possess it. And, you know, if you don't have it, you don't have enough faith, brother. You know, what a bunch of baloney that is. God says, be holy. And you know what? I'd rather be holy than anything else. I'd rather be holy than wealthy or healthy or any of that stuff. Why? Because the new body's coming. And we're going to have a new body one day, and we won't have to worry about our health problems or eating creepy crawlers or any of this stuff. What a glorious day that's going to be. In the meantime, God, this is not a suggestion. This is an Old Testament as well as New Testament commandment. Be holy as I am holy. God is holy. This is the law of the animals and the birds, and every living creature that moves in the waters, and of every creature that creeps on the earth, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean, and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. Pretty neat, huh? I really enjoy just going through this section this week, and I hope it blessed you. I hope it encouraged you to get excited about the book of Leviticus. And you know what? You can go back, and you can study, and God will show you more. There's certainly a whole lot more than what I brought forth tonight. I just feel like I scratched the surface. But, you know, I'm just really, really enjoying the book of Leviticus. And let me close with this. I think the bottom line with what we've seen here tonight applies to us as believers today. We need discernment. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's one of those that's kind of looked over when it comes to spiritual gifts today. Oh, people want to prophesy, and people want to speak in tongues, and people want to, you know, all of the other visible gifts, but very few people pray for spiritual discernment. Folks, we need spiritual discernment like never before. We need to know the clean from the unclean. We need to know the holy from the unholy. Why? Because Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, and a lot of what is done in the name of Christianity is not of the Lord, what we see going on today. We need spiritual discernment. We need to know which is holy, which is unholy. We need to know what is contaminated, what is uncontaminated. Why? Because we live in a contaminated world. After the fall, man, the whole world's contaminated. And you know, we're not just talking about food. We live in a contaminated world. We live in a contaminated country. We live in a contaminated valley. Look around. And you know what this chapter is? It's about more than healthy eating. It's about healthy living. It's about being obedient to God. God wants his people to be set apart, to be consecrated unto him. We have two choices, don't we? We have two choices. Separation from the world or compromise and being defiled by the world. It's up to us. And God would have us to be separated, to be consecrated, to be set apart. Why? Because we begin to compromise as Christians, we become defiled. Compromise never works. We rub shoulders with the world every day, and we're to keep ourselves clean. Now, that's not that we can't go out and pray for sinners and touch sinners and embrace sinners. Jesus did. But I'm talking about those things that cause us to be defiled in our spiritual life. And that's the all-important thing. There are laws of love, consecration over contamination. And I think it's so important that we recognize and realize that when God commands us to do something or not to do something, it's for our own good and for his glory. And that's so important. With Jesus, we can live in the world and not be of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Help us, Lord, to be set apart, to be consecrated unto you. And whatever we're dealing with, Lord, that's on the other side of the line, that's unclean, help us to deal with it, Lord. May we just commit it to you. Just give it to you, Lord. When you died on that cross, Lord, you died for the sins of mankind. And I thank you, Lord, that you who knew no sin became sin for us. We thank you, Lord, that all manner of sin can be forgiven except for the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so whatever it may be, Lord, that's hindering our walk with you, contaminating us, ripping us off, tearing us down, I pray, Lord, that we would be freed up from that tonight, whatever it may be. Thank you, Lord, for your precious blood. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, which is new every day. May we walk in the newness of life. We love you and thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, Leviticus 12.